Isn't this a sports show?
Something, something, Patrick Mahomes sexy deep ball.
Almost entirely.
You turn that hot dog sideways, that wiener's going to fall out.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You see what I'm saying? Whenever the bun enters your mouth.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Unclench your butt muscles. Exhale deeply. Let's talk about it.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I would come in here every day and be like, boy, it sure is good that I've got this place to fix my droopy wee-wee. Every day I would say that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'd like to start off by personally thanking the NFL for making sure that sports radio can continue to exist in its current form. Because, my goodness, did sports radio get an absolute meal ticket handed to us today. The NFL, we talked about yesterday, the whole bit yesterday was trying to figure out, can the NFL come up with a worse idea than the one that was being discussed yesterday? And it might not be worse than the one that included 15-yard offsetting penalties, but they continue to just keep finding the banana peel on this national anthem-based discussion. It's wild. And there are a bunch of different things we can go here with this, different directions, and we're going to get to all of them. I think it's a really interesting story, and I think the way that the NFL is trying to solve this problem is interesting, and I think what the quote-unquote problem is interesting, because that varies from person to person and depending on what perspective you take. So the very first thing I want to tell you is what the NFL actually did. Before we get into the whys or if it's good or bad, here's what actually happened. The new anthem policy via an NFL statement. All team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. 2, the game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. 3, personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until the anthem has been performed. 4, a club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. 5, each club may develop its own work rules consistent with the above principles regarding its personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. 6, the commissioner will impose appropriate discipline on league personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. We get a very authoritarian tone from that, but if that's where the owners and players and the associations, if that's where everybody gets all together on it, then it seems like we probably could have gotten through some of that. But that's the landing spot. Okay, let's work backwards. What was the stated goal of what the NFL was trying to do with this new anthem policy? Jerry Jones said they wanted to get back to football. They wanted to have the league be about the game. Just wanted the politics out of the sport. So Jerry Jones was saying. And this is the supposed compromise. The word compromise is important here, because it is a tremendous lie. First of all, though, this isn't helping the main point, which is to depoliticize your sport. You're still playing the national anthem beforehand, and the spotlight that gets put on every single instance here is going to be wild. The spotlight got brighter. You got a brighter spotlight on this issue, which is kind of incredible. I kind of give a befuddled nod in the NFL's general direction. But this also is not a compromise, because the NFL Players Association was not a part of the rule here, was not a part of the discussion. So the language used in these last couple days has been incredible. They talk about wanting to stay out of politics and then mandate respect for the flag and the anthem. Like, and these are quotation marks. And then this compromise comes to fruition without consulting the players or the NFLPA. This is simply saying one thing and then doing something completely unrelated. This is a non sequitur. Saying we want to get out of politics and then doing this as your move is a non sequitur. And I was having a conversation on Twitter that led to an important, helpful reminder here that I think we should have. End result notwithstanding, a helpful reminder for where we're actually at. We are really talking about two separate issues here. There are two issues that we can discuss. There's the issue of the NFL making money and keeping that money flowing through unimposed upon, unhindered,
unfiltered.
And then there's the second topic at hand, which is the fan discussion about patriotism and protests and anthems. But there are two separate things. It's about what we're talking about, protests, patriotism, anthems, and then it's the NFL getting money. And those two things are only related loosely by context. Because this is a case where those two things overlap, not by purpose or by intent, but by accident. So what did the NFL accomplish today? Well, they get rid of the photos and the videos of players kneeling on the sidelines during the national anthem. They push conscientious objectors to the locker room, but that also isn't really about a protest. That's about just putting you away. They gave individual teams the option to hold their players in the locker room as a team, which would make this bleep storm a team-by-team basis, by the way. So now we're no longer talking about unpatriotic players. We're talking about unpatriotic teams. If entire teams stay in the locker room, then they have to deal with it. And again, this isn't a compromise. It's also not a solution to anything that anyone was standing for or kneeling for, etc. Because nobody was kneeling during the national anthem because they wanted to stay in the locker room instead. There was, at first, a purposeful non-participation when Colin Kaepernick stayed on the bench during the national anthem. And then he moved back up with his teammates and took a knee upon talking with some military members about picking the most respectful posture. That's how they ended up on taking a knee, by the way. It's a refresher course that I think is important. He talked to people in the military, said, "What can I do to show this isn't about the military? This is about protesting racial inequality and police brutality in this country." That was the beginning of this. That was Colin Kaepernick's starting point, and then others joined in. So responding to them saying, "Hey, please notice this racial injustice. Let's talk about this, and let's use our platform to create good." Responding to that question with, "Fine, you can stay in the locker room," is completely absurd. Again, it's a complete non sequitur, and it's certainly not a compromise. It's like your kid breaking their leg and saying, Dad, my leg is broken. Can we go to the hospital, please?" And you go, "Oh, yes, son, of course. Just you can stay home from school today." "No, Dad, that's not helpful. That is not helping. That is not a compromise, nor is it a solution. It just keeps them out of your sight line while you go to work and get that money." Which is, again, what the NFL is doing. It's their whole purpose at this point. Get that money and try to keep these polarizing discussions out of my realm of view. And again, one thing that I don't feel like we can really overstate is how unhelpful this solution is for anyone, except for avoiding the wrath of the president and the vice president, which is a real thing because we've already seen Mike Pence jump into it. We'll get to Mike Pence in a second. But this has not been helpful. Counterpoint, I'll take counterpoints. Counterpoint from Matt on Twitter said, "I think they said a strong message. Protest all you want, just not at work. Football games are not a canvas for political statements. It's a game. Glad the NFL is making it about the game," all caps. "For 3.5 hours, We get to sit and cheer our teams and forget about things. And this response is buck wild to me. I should have gotten used to it by now, I guess, because it is incredibly common. But it is wild to me. Because if you want to keep politics all the way out of your sports, which, by the way, I'm okay with. I'm not really there with you. I don't mind my peas and carrots touching in that way, where politics and sports come together. I'm interested in both of them. I don't mind whenever social activism ends up colliding with my sports. But if you do, then that's okay. But if that's where you actually are, why wouldn't you be in favor of getting the national anthem away from your sports entirely? Don't bother answering. I know the answer. It's because you want the politics that you support to be around your sports. Which is, I suppose, human nature. Someone else on Twitter said, isn't that how everybody is? If their politics I like, then I like them. If their politics I dislike, then I don't like them. Maybe so, but that's really cynical and also really unhelpful. For me, I need to make sure that I am as cool with a cause I support showing up in my sporting events as I am a cause I don't support. And I really truly think that I am. My response would be different, obviously. So if someone takes a knee during the national anthem, and I don't feel like I'm overly showing my cards on this. We've talked about this a bunch, and I think we've talked about this in measured and smart ways. If someone takes a knee during the national anthem and then presents the reason they're doing that as to highlight police brutality and an unjust system that unfairly targets and punishes minorities and then doesn't hold law enforcement accountable, Colin Kaepernick does that, says as much, donates $1 million to the cause in the year following, I'm going to look at that and go, at the very least, that is a cause that I can respect. If someone wants to go the complete other direction, if someone goes out and says, you know what, I'm taking a knee during the national anthem because I think we're in a country that's about to infringe on our right to bear arms, and I'm taking a knee and wearing an NRA sweatband, I would be just as interested in that happening also. The individual discussion of the merit of each of those and of the content of each of those will vary, but that doesn't mean that the overarching, is this okay, statement has to change. So I don't think it's as cut and dry as I like politics that I like and I don't like politics that I don't like. Or if you find yourself doing that, then that's on you to correct. It's extremely cynical to say that everyone's in that place. It might be true. I try not to let that be true for myself. But if you want to depoliticize your sport, which again is something that I'm okay with, if you say, I want politics out of my sports, I'm not going to find myself in lockstep with you on that, because again, I don't mind, but if that's where you are, then fine. Let's do it. Let's really do it, Jerry Jones. Quit starting every one of your games with testaments to your own national pride. Stop having huge flyovers and enormous flags and patriotic songs. Stop doing that. If you want to take politics or political issues out of your sport, then really do it. That's been the norm for long enough that we now consider it to be actually normal, even though there's no way that we would consider it normal if we started doing that before things now, before movies, or if we just started doing it before sports now. If Trump got into office and then we started doing this before sporting events, now we'd all be going, why are we doing this? Why would we change? If you want to keep the focus on football, then you have two options here. Ditch the anthem before the games, or keep all the players in the locker room until it's over. What the NFL actually did today is not depoliticizing. It's just trying to hide the dissenters. And that doesn't help the issue. That's them trying to address a symptom that is going to continue to stay in the limelight. So not only did they do a thing that doesn't make very much sense on every level, they also did the thing that doesn't make much sense for accomplishing the goal they've said they wanted to solve.
So I haven't read the whole rules and all that stuff.
I read them at the beginning.
Okay.
Well, that was the full extent. Okay. You were still here for that.
Okay. Anyway, is there any rule that stops guys just going out in the field kneeling anyway?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
It's a good question. One other thing that I want to get to before we get to that, because there are several things happening after, and like that, the second segment of this is of the show today is going to be a lot of what these owners are saying and doing, because there are some fascinating things that have already happened today since this ruling came through. But also, I want to make sure that I'm responding to people in real time, because I don't want to not respond to a difficult question and then have it seem like I'm ignoring it. So someone tweeted me today and said, "What political statement does the anthem make?" I'm saying, if you want to depoliticize your sport, stop playing the national anthem before it. Well, what political statement does the anthem itself make? Political statements are seeped into shows of patriotism and national symbols. And you know that because of the backlash that we get for not respecting the anthem. I put that in air quotes. If you don't, quote unquote, respect the national anthem or the flag or whatever, then you see a backlash from people saying that you are disrespecting the things that it represents. And I think that on its own proves the point that the anthem and these symbols are political. At the very least, they are nationalistic and patriotic, which are largely softer ways of saying political. But anyway, by serving as a symbol of the country, the flag and the anthem can be seen as a variety of pro-country, pro-political status quo statements, either for the state of the country in general or for a particular political issue. So right now, understanding the political climate that we live in, we can see generic support for the country as being specific support for the particular sitting president of the United States, who is tremendously polarizing. So support for the general can be drawn down to be seen as support or dissent against the specific. Does that make sense? You start off with this song and this symbol, and it's all very big and generic, but it's something that very much can be drawn to the specifics. It's seeped in political statements and stances. We talked about this a little bit a week or two ago off of something that Bomani Jones said on his podcast. I have the quote again. He said, "So much of America views the national anthem as neutral to politics, as though it is not a political expression in and of itself," which again allows for standing for the anthem to be seen as the thing that you do whenever you don't want to make a political choice. Standing for the national anthem, hand over your heart, is the thing you do when you want to avoid making a decision. However, not standing for it makes a huge political statement, because that's the cultural norm that's been reinforced. I think that's tremendously interesting. Anyway, another thing about where I'm at and this issue, somebody tweeted me and we had a good conversation back and forth a few times. I was going to see if I could pull up his name really quick and make sure I've got it right. Yeah, from Pat, whose Twitter is PT Grandpa. So he is a grandpa and I'm a 12-year-old boy. And that was kind of part of our conversation, which is kind of fun, a very cross-generational conversation. It kind of, he didn't ask it quite this specifically, or this pointedly, but, you know, kind of asked myself the question of, does this make me, am I anti-anthem? Am I anti-national anthem? Am I anti-patriotism? Am I anti-America? Am I anti-America? Oh my goodness. Am I? I don't think so. But I was asked, where do I draw the line on where this mandatory patriotism comes in? And I think that's the phrase that I'm going to go ahead and hook onto for a minute, because I like that phrase, the mandatory patriotism that comes before games. If we were resetting the norms, personally, I would be 100% okay with not playing the national anthem before sporting events. I don't need the mandatory patriotism before my entertainment. And if you think about it, it's kind of weird that we do it that way. Before sports, not before movies. Before school plays? I don't know. Do we do it before school plays? We don't do it before concerts. What entertainment constitutes an anthem before it? Regardless, though, he asked again, when is mandatory patriotism okay? And this is a great question. For me, having the national anthem and the flag and mandatory patriotism, before or during events that have an intrinsic tie to something patriotic is a total no-brainer. If you've got government or military events, sing away. It's kind of a loose definition, but I think it's a start. And then conversely, where do you stop putting patriotism? If you do like it during the sports, why don't you like it before the previews start at movies? Would you like to add that? Would you like it to air before television shows? Should we blast it from speakers in every neighborhood in America? Should we blast it from tornado sirens at 9 a.m. every morning? Obviously, somewhere in there, you go to the absurd, but where is the absurd? Where is the reasonable? And that's something that every time we get to that point, I stop getting responses. I am movable. I have taken steps throughout the last couple years of conversations around this. I really don't feel like I have just dug into a foxhole and I'm just going to stand here forever exactly where I'm at with this issue. But I think that is a tremendously worthwhile question that we can ask in earnest, which is, what is absurd? What is reasonable? What is unreasonable on the other direction? Blasting the national anthem at 9 a.m. from our tornado sirens, to me, is absurd. That's absurd. I think we could probably agree that's a little bit, that's a little dictatorial. And saying that you're not allowed to play the national anthem anywhere is absurd the other direction. It's sort of strange to me that we do it before sports and arts and entertainment. And when, where we do and don't, because I would clump those things together. I find sports and movies to be very much in a very similar entertainment capsule. Why do sports get it and movies don't? Would you add it before movies? I think you have to. I think there's got to be some. There has to be a line of thinking there. And again, usually whenever I ask that question, the conversation tends to stop. It's interesting. We got a little bit away from where the NFL is on this and what the NFL did. Because I think you almost, and this is hard. This is why this issue is difficult. And it's why I'm going to put this podcast out from today's show. And some people are going to stop listening after 5 minutes and then tweet me or leave an angry review on iTunes or whatever. But I think all of this is almost a prerequisite to the next conversation, which is what the NFL does now and what the NFL is currently doing. So we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, I'm going to tell you some points that Benjamin Albright made. We'll go back to the NFL specifically on this. Also, the owners, especially two owners, really three owners have said interesting things today that are going to show you exactly why the NFL made such a misstep today, because three owners have spoken and given you three drastically different touch points where this is going to continue to be a story and it might even grow. Also, listen, if I regret this, I regret this, but if you have questions or comments or feedback or whatever, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe and you can put them in the comments in this Facebook video, which we do to the show live every day on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe, you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll pick away at those as we go throughout the show today. I genuinely want to have this as a conversation, not as me preaching, but also I have a microphone and you guys have to go through Twitter and Facebook and stuff. So I want to make sure that we take time for your voice whenever you've got something to say. So I've been trying to do that segment so far today. Also, Beards has been very quiet, which I feel like is also understandable. I get it. Am I intimidating when I'm talking about this? Like, you don't want to step onto the train tracks and then get mowed over? Or is it because you don't feel like you want to hop in on this particular set of tracks?
Deadpool 2 was great last night.
I haven't seen Deadpool 2 yet. You should have gotten a break after you said they're going to do that again. Beards, are you afraid to jump in on the conversation because it's a difficult conversation with lots of complex twists and turns, or because I am a train barreling down these tracks 100 miles an hour?
You know, I might see a new...
Beards turned off his own microphone partway through his sentence. That was unbelievable radio professionalism. Thank you for bringing us back, Beards, to what we truly are.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I don't know who he is.
Oh, this exact story. Got it.
Yeah. No, I didn't know he existed.
I don't expect you that to.
We're going to ask Scott.
What was that? Beards just turned
off
my microphone
buttons.
Instead of his own.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You know what this show sounds like without my microphone on it?
Go ahead. Yeah.
We're going to talk to Scott later about Lil Yachty.
We are a disruptive force to this
country.
We are
professionals.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so let's talk about the actual things that the NFL bleeped up here today. For someone that talked about unity so much, you'd think they'd have a somewhat unified front. They don't, man. I've seen three owners make comments about this today, and the three of them did some wild different bleep, which is amazing. Benjamin Albright, though, had a tweet on Albright NFL that I thought was good. There are at least three problems that he has identified. One, the policy defines penalties to the team, not individual players. That'll come back up here in a second. Two, the policy points to conduct detrimental, but the data shows the opposite. The NFL last year, I add parenthetically, the NFL last year, as ratings declined, they declined less than TV as a whole. So when adjusted for TV declines overall, the NFL actually increased in viewership last year. And three, from Albright, the NFL ostensibly wanted to take the focus off the pregame rituals. This merely hyper-focuses attention back on it. That last point is so absurd because they went in with that as their goal, as their stated goal was to at least get focus off of what's happening before the games, and they just turned it up to 11. Roger Goodell said the vote was unanimous among the owners. That appears to be, if not a lie, at least a very softened truth, because 49ers owner Jed York abstained from the vote. He said he thinks a deeper look is required and that his team will not make concession sales during the anthem. Quote, I don't think we should be profiting if we're going to put this type of attention and focus on the field and the flag. Putting your money where your mouth is. That's something, though, that is not league-wide. So attention to the field and the flag. But go buy your nachos. Unless you're at the Niner Stadium. Jed York says they won't sell stuff. This one's amazing. What the Jets are doing, this story is awesome. And it's awesome not because it's politically what I like, but because this is chaos.
It's the Jets.
It's the Jets.
Okay.
Have you heard this yet?
No.
It's amazing. This one is...
I've heard very little about this.
This one is awesome because of the layers here.
Hit me.
Jets CEO Christopher Johnson says that he / the organization will pay the fines if any Jets players kneel on the field during the anthem. You brought this up earlier, Beards. What if someone just does go out there and kneels anyway, which is a protest instead of an abstaining, which is the whole thing that they started with? You're going to say you figure that that's on the table still?
Just the idea that could happen?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's not really anything that's going
to... There
like...
aren't snipers in the press box. If you kneel, you get your head blown off.
Right.
Not on the table, no. So if anyone does do that, then the organization gets fined. Not the player, but the organization. That's already true. That's in the wording. But Christopher Johnson, CEO of the Jets...
I feel like the Texans are going to be doing that a lot.
Man, I hadn't even thought about that. A bunch of Texans players go out there and then just take a knee and then turn to the owner's box and then flip them the bird?
Yeah.
I like that idea. That's really good.
Just the entire roster?
No. Still none of this is as good as what's happening with the Jets. Listen to this. So... Christopher Johnson reestablished that is the norm, and he's said that if players come out and do that, then so be it, and we will pay the fine.
Which they have to.
Yes, but he's saying, like, feel free.
We'll accept it, yeah. We'll take it.
Christopher Johnson is not the name that you would associate with owning the Jets, because the actual majority owner of the Jets is Woody Johnson. Woody Johnson is not... the acting owner of the Jets right now, Christopher Johnson, his brother, is, because Woody Johnson is Donald Trump's ambassador to the United Kingdom.
Nice.
Woody Johnson is one of the owners that donated like $1 million to Trump's campaign, and he was appointed as the U.S. ambassador to the U.K. by Donald Trump, and now Christopher Johnson is running his team. There are so many layers to that. There are more layers to that than an ogre.
Or an onion.
Or a parfait.
Everybody loves parfait.
So that's amazing. Art Rooney from the Steelers came out. He said he thinks that standing with a raised fist constitutes disrespect of the anthem. Maybe it does. You know where it doesn't say that? In the new rule. Hello, wiggle room. Why don't you make yourself at home?
Hello, giant loophole.
Well, and not even loophole, just so much room for interpretation.
This is just all about kneeling.
It's not. It's about respect for the anthem.
Right.
Respect for the anthem. That's in there everywhere. Put that in quotes, baby. Respect for the anthem. Respect for the anthem. Don't respect the anthem. Getting fined. Well, your team is, at least you might be. Also, you individual teams can figure it out yourself. Respect the anthem. But is raising a fist during the anthem disrespect? What if you got one hand over your heart and then a fist in the air? All right, what if you're linking arms with your teammates? Is that disrespecting the anthem? Taking a knee definitely is. What if you're back there? What if you stand there and partway through you reach down and adjust yourself because you got jock straps really cutting up into you, and it's during that anthem, you're like, I hope nobody notices, but you go down and you do a little adjustment, and then all of a sudden now Jed York is taking a 15 grand fine. What is disrespectful to the anthem? What if you stand there at attention and then you pants yourself and you show your butt to the world? That's not specified. There's so much wiggle room. Also, one more time on just how the NFL really failed today for their stated purpose, and then actually how I'll be able to give you my theory for, another angle you could look at this. Vice President Mike Pence tweeted a screenshot of a headline about the owner's decision today. The only thing that Pence tweeted other than the headline, other than the screenshot, was #winning and an American flag emoji. #winning was a Charlie Sheen thing. So Mike Pence continues to be the coolest dude in 2010, maybe? Mike Pence, 2011, cool guy. #winning American flag emoji because this rule that the owners passed today. And so either the owners failed at depoliticizing their pregame rituals or they succeeded at appeasing the current president and vice president, who have also been a huge part of this dog and pony show where Mike Pence went to a Colts game. Remember this? This was bull bleep. This is something that I have no interest in protecting myself on from anyone who might like Mike Pence. He went to that Colts game and then went. It was up in the box. They had Secret Service out there, and then he left whenever there were players who didn't stand for the anthem. As this, just this big public charade that costs taxpayer money, and you have to go out and have security start earlier because the VP is going to be there. He was there for like 10 minutes. He was there for long enough to see not everyone stand up, and then he left.
And isn't that just because he had like a meeting he had to go to or something else after?
No, you're right. No, yeah. There was another flight.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Like, he flew into Indianapolis for that and then flew somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not to mention the extra security at the stadium, the Secret Service being with him there. That one is just childish. Like, that one, if you want to fight me on, you can try, I guess. That one's childish, man. And now he's a politician with a political agenda, so tweeting that headline with #winning or whatever is his prerogative. But if you think that that is not an obvious sign of a very political pregame ritual, then you are blind. President tweets about it, uses the league as a platform. VP tweets about it, uses the league as a platform. I wonder if the NFL is happy today. I partially kind of think... I imagine Jerry Jones has had an iPad turned into the capabilities of a full iPhone, so he can make calls on that also, because I don't think he can use a phone. So he's got an iPad 1 with the text size blown the whole way up. I just imagine Jerry Jones hunched over his enormous iPad with a text size, like where each word fills the whole screen, just scrolling through tweets, looking unbelievably confused as to why this brilliant idea didn't work this time.
I feel like Jerry Jones uses a CrackBerry.
That's pretty good.
Like, let's be honest here. He probably uses a CrackBerry.
Do you mean a BlackBerry?
Yes.
Okay. A cracked BlackBerry?
No, a CrackBerry.
Or a jailbroken BlackBerry?
No. Just the addicting nature of the BlackBerry. It was called the CrackBerry.
Got it. Okay. I had a BlackBerry for a little while. I didn't remember the CrackBerry thing being a thing.
Yep.
I imagine it being a CrackBerry just because Jerry Jones would rather have something that evokes cocaine rather than black.
It actually has a sprayer on it that just sprays cocaine in his face.
That's pretty good. The one I had a little trackball in the middle.
Yeah.
It was super satisfying. A little actual physical trackball and a physical keyboard. It was pretty dope.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that. Not a ton, but a little bit. So yeah, maybe Jerry Jones is out here with a BlackBerry, physical keyboard, and a little scroller ball, just scrolling through Twitter. Because last time he did one of these things, remember, he went out and remember, he took a knee with the whole team before the anthem and then popped right up and then smiled at the camera, took a little wink, and then lined back up and then put his hand over his damn heart for the anthem.
No, he was making sweet eye love to that camera while he was kneeling.
Oh, he was.
It was while he was kneeling.
He was. Ray Lewis goes out of two knees. That's for Jesus. It's so good. So I think that Jerry Jones is probably just at home, either not reading Twitter and drinking Johnny Walker Blue, or he's at home reading Twitter, just going, "What? Why didn't this work?"
I feel like he's a Lone Star Beer kind of guy.
I think Johnny
Walker Blue is also very good.
I think he's drinking Johnny Walker Blue and Orphan Blood.
Wow, I was going to make the joke of, I think he's got one of those like custom glasses that's like in the shape of a Dallas Cowboys helmet or something.
I think we might have talked about this before,
maybe, or it's like a boot. It's like in the shape of a boot.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
That's pretty good. Either that or just like stacks of cash.
My aunt actually has one of those glasses. It's like
as a boot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, Beard has an extensive cowboy boot collection, which is the strangest fact about him that I think you can even imagine.
They're nice.
Does CDR know about your boot collection?
Yes. She rolled her eyes.
I'm just glad that wasn't like... I'm glad you got a way to have that conversation. Wait, when did she learn about this?
I don't remember. I might have mentioned it.
Okay, but like not like yesterday?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you got that out there and it didn't immediately end your relationship.
Hey,
that's something you had to worry about, I think.
She drinks Pepsi.
That's
true.
That's a great point. That's the main thing in a relationship, is just trying to find someone with as many critical personality flaws as you. So you're even.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels about right. Right now on NFL Live, they're changing their levels of height to simulate the problems with the helmet-to-helmet rule, whatever that's going to be. Like, what if I'm here? Well, what if I'm down here?
Is this what they're doing with, like, IBM now?
No, they're literally just in their desk chairs, just scooting up and down.
Oh.
The new kickoff rules and stuff, that's not interesting. The interesting thing is how the NFL is trying to consume themselves as they are with this. Also... Oh, man, I've got too many tabs open. Eventually, I'm going to tell you about my FedEx problem today and explain why I wasn't late to the show, but I was much later than I wanted to be. Clint tweeted, I'm not just reading this because it starts off as a compliment, but Clint, who's always tweeting nice things about the show, or at least good things about the show, even if they're not nice. I think they're usually nice. But he tweeted, means that I find your opinions on the NFL situation really interesting. Thank you, Clint. The whole thing is becoming a tragic comedy. A lesser league could realistically fold under the weight of it, but the financial juggernaut that is the NFL will continue to thrive. It is mind-boggling. And it so is. Also, that's fascinating. Because by being the juggernaut that it is, it allows the league to keep making these tremendous missteps while still succeeding enough to make them again later. The cycle there is incredible. The size and stature of the league keeps it from ever folding under any single one of these missteps, failures, whatever, which in and of itself allows them to make more of them. I think that's super interesting. Also, this was a really good interaction. This is what Twitter's good for. I tweeted that if we're resetting norms, that'd be cool. If not playing the national anthem before sporting events, that's weird. And then at Bean from PA, American flag emoji, tweeted me and said, I'm not okay with not playing the anthem. I look at the profile, and it's a generic woman face as the avatar, and then the cover photo is a quote about liberalism being the core of liberalism being a spoiled child, and they have almost 300,000 tweets and are following 12,000 people and are being followed by 14,000 people. I put people in quotation marks. So I saw all of this, realizing that I'm pretty sure that I know what this person's doing, which is, if not a bot, it's one of like thousands of these accounts that are being monitored by, you know, the same organization or people or whatever. These random Twitter trolls. But I responded. How often do you need it? How often do you play it? before you sit down to watch TV, before movies and concerts? Why sporting events? I feel like those were fair follow-up questions to this bot. I mean, person. Response was, because I want it to be played. I don't have to explain myself to you, just like you, who doesn't care if it's played or not. Everybody has opinions. And I wanted to highlight that because that's the worst response I've ever gotten to this conversation. And I don't feel bad for pointing it out because I'm 99.9% sure that it's some sort of Russian spam bot. Or at least some sort of spam bot. But they made a statement. And then I asked a question, and they responded with, I don't need to answer that. And, like, you're totally right, man. You are totally right. You do not have to answer that. But you also don't have to at me. They didn't follow me. They were searching people tweeting about the anthem and then tweeted at me. Also, again, something seems sketchy about that account. I just can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's every single thing about it. I don't know. That was kind of funny. I said earlier that if you've got questions, comments, whatever, I want to take them. Because even if I disagree with you, then it gives me a chance to disagree with you on the radio, and that's part of the gig. Like, that's kind of fun. Matthew said, out of sight, out of mind, and I think that's what the NFL is hoping for here. This is an out of sight, out of mind play. Anita said, disrespect is in the eye of the beholder. If the team's on the field and links arms, is that disrespectful? We talked about that a little bit more. Yeah, is a fist in the air disrespectful? What does that mean? Who gets fined? What gets you fined? That is not determined in the rules the NFL has set. It's a failing in a rule setting. Anita also says the WWE does not, which I think is great because that's right in the middle. That's a physical entertainment, but it's not unscripted. So why does that fall? Are we only playing the anthem before unscripted entertainment? Do we need to start playing the national anthem before improv shows? I'll ask that question. I'm ready to answer it. Damn right we do. Thank the Lord for our freedoms to do improvisational comedy. Should we be playing it before this show every day? This is an unscripted form of entertainment.
Whoa. I need to get rid of my script then.
I'm trying to sow the idea that this is not every word scripted. Also, every cough.
Well, today's not scripted because, you know, you got here late and we weren't able to finalize things.
That's true. We usually have a 4-hour production meeting before the show where we script every word of the show.
I don't know what we're going to do about the second act. We don't have any resolution there.
You're right. We'll work on that. We're going to have a very quick meeting between the hour.
What's my motivation?
Matthew says, we live in a day and age where sadly people only listen and respond rather than listen to learn to grow. That's true. Again, there's some good conversations that I was a part of today that made me feel a little bit less depressed in that way. Matthew says, what if teams are universal group floss dance during the anthem? Who knows? I think Beers made a face. I'm thinking about whenever like you have like a bath towel, you know, and you're flossing between your legs.
Oh, gosh.
That seems disrespectful.
A little bit.
Keith says, well, the NFL banned fans from wearing flag-related clothing because according to the official flag rules, that's not allowed as it's disrespecting the flag. Yeah, I mean, like, no, they're not going to, but that's a thing that you can ask that question. What is disrespect? What is respect? It's not like porn where you say, I know when I see it. These are intricately detailed conversations and rulings and rules and intentions. Kaepernick's goal was to never disrespect the military or even the anthem or the flag. It was to draw attention to an issue that he thought was important. That has obviously been completely lost. Like, that is so far gone. We lost our chance to actually stick around in that conversation. But if you start asking about the core of these decisions and questions and everything, you start to figure out that there aren't many of them. There aren't many good reasons, not much good logic. All right, whenever we come back, we're going to talk about Richie Incognito being involuntarily put into a psychiatric facility today. That's not a tease. I mean, that is a tease. That's not a lie. One other thing on that. The joke of it isn't he was put into a psych facility. That's not funny. The thing that he did beforehand that got him there is literally unfathomable. There's a quote here that's going to change your life.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I've probably upset somebody, right?
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
All right, we don't have enough time in this segment to get into Richie Incognito, but we'll talk about him and Demetrius Harris, top of the 5 o'clock hour here. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that was clear from this is how unhappy the Players Association is. The NFLPA had a statement they released. The NFL chose not to consult the union in the development of this new policy, which they put in quotes, policy. NFL players have shown their patriotism through their social activism, their community service, in support of our military and law enforcement, and yes, through their protests to raise awareness about the issues they care about. The vote by NFL club CEOs today contradicts the statements made to our player leadership by Commissioner Roger Goodell and the chairman of the NFL's management council, John Mara, about the principles, values, and patriotism of our league. Our union will review the new, quote, policy and challenge any aspect of it that is inconsistent with the collective bargaining agreement. This is going to be a mess. As Andrew Brandt tweeted, as they always say, there is a labor agreement, but there is certainly not labor peace. This is a mess, and the NFL is bringing this on themselves. You can't do this without talking to the players and the Players Association. I mean, you can, yes, but you shouldn't. That's a differentiation that I wish more people would make in the mentions. The owners can do whatever they want. Yeah, they can. Until the next CBA comes around, and this is going to get held over their heads. And rightfully so. Also, it's come up, hey, why doesn't the NBA get more flack? They make their players stand. It's a part of their thing. The NBA has such a healthier relationship with their players.
And also, I was listening to, I think it was a Low Post podcast the other day. They mentioned something about this, and they just said, LeBron said, I'm standing, and then that was it.
Yes.
That was over.
If players made it a thing, it would be a thing. But also, the NBA and their players have a functional relationship to where they don't need to be pulling each other in different directions. The owners and the players in the NFL are always jostling for position. That makes this happen.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I mean, we need to sell t-shirts.
We just need
to have t-shirts that we can sell.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I can do that, by the way. I can create a store pretty easy, I think. Sure. Problem is getting them sold.
All proceeds go to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
The charity of us.
100% of the profits.
Yeah.
110, actually.
Yes. We're going to steal from the company. The t-shirt company that makes it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
We're already stealing from this company.
Whoa!
On ESPN Kansas City.
I meant we were stealing from this company by continuing to take the company's money to do this show. But this show is, in and of itself, a scam.
That we financed ourselves.
Largely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new adapter today for our webcam.
That was given to us.
For a new webcam that was given to us, yes. So whenever we have a guest in studio next time, our Facebook Live will continue to evolve, I believe.
Maybe.
If I get the graphic and stuff done. We've got new stuff we're doing. So yeah, I wanted to clarify that we're not embezzling from the company. I'm not embezzling from the company. Beatrice has to be paying for that gas to and from Lawrence every day somehow.
And all that Slim Chicken.
You eat so much Slim Chickens.
It's because it's good.
No, but it's, yeah. Lots of things are good. Me having a car without a check engine light on would be good. By the way, it turned off a couple days ago.
Yay!
And then came back on today.
Oh.
But at least what that does is that feels like it buys me another couple weeks. Of like it was on for like 2 weeks this time without ever turning off, and then it turned off again, and now it's back on. As long as it keeps doing that, I'm going to assume that, you know, hey, it could be worse.
I have air pressure sensors in my tires.
Uh-huh.
And the light came on for that a while ago.
Yep.
And it was like none of the tires were low.
Mm-hmm.
And the car company was just like, oh, yeah, you just need to get new ones. And then like a few months, those had been on for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a few months ago, they just went off. And it was like...
I'm teaching myself a terrible lesson, which is if I ignore my problems, they'll eventually go away.
Yep.
Richie Incognito.
Speaking of problems.
Has a couple of those. Earlier this week, Richie Incognito told the Bills he wanted to unretire, which is why Buffalo released him from their reserve retired list. And they're both moving on in different directions, Incognito with the hope of playing elsewhere. And that became a topic in Kansas City Chiefs Twitter for a little while because the Chiefs could always use another guard, right? Who couldn't use another guard? For me, I tweeted that the idea of trading away Marcus Peters and bringing in Richie Incognito in the same offseason is literally like the most infuriating thing I could possibly think of. Not only as, you know, deciding that one troublemaker is worth it and one isn't. Richie Incognito was a terrible teammate, was a bully, and using racial slurs to, like, trainers and stuff. Like, go look up the Richie Incognito story if you don't know it. It's just awful. And just harassing Jonathan Martin on a level that, you know, drove Jonathan Martin out of the league. Richie Incognito got to stick around because the NFL prefers the bully to the bullied very often, it seems. So that's... I was not a fan of the idea of bringing Richie Incognito in anyway. Also, I'm not that worried about the left guard spot. You got a full offseason of Parker Anger getting healthy and all that, yada, yada, yada. But there were some people saying, you know what, I wouldn't mind it. You know what, fine, bring in Richie Incognito. Today, he was held for an involuntary psychological evaluation in Florida.
How'd that happen, Josh?
Well, first I need to set this up appropriately, because this matters to me. Today's show has been a whole lot of me, like, trying to walk carefully about issues I actually care about. So I'm sorry if this show has just had too much. I'm sorry that if you didn't get enough from our biblical football team yesterday.
You've just been smacked over the head with actual news.
I know, actual things
it's
today.
It's very depressing for me.
I'm sorry. So I'm going to be the last person on the planet to go, oh God, a psych eval. That dude must be a lunatic. Because I have been very close to a relatively large number of people in my life who have had their own experiences with extremely important and necessary mental health care, including but not limited to psychological evaluations. This is something I've been very close to. So I am not here to make fun of Richie Incognito being held for psychological evaluation.
However,
the specifics on this are wild. Again, he's got that whole bullying and racial slur thing that didn't slow his career down, I guess. So that was one reason I wasn't super jazzed with the idea bringing him onto the Chiefs. And then the details on this story today, quote, Incognito allegedly threw a dumbbell at another man in a Boca Raton gym this morning, quote, for no apparent reason. This was after he had thrown a tennis ball at the same man. Incognito was allegedly, quote, rambling about the government and screaming at the other man to, quote, get off my effing playground. My conclusion is that I'm cool with left guard Parker Anger. Get off my effing playground.
And then throws a tennis ball at him.
Dumbbell.
No, didn't you say tennis ball as well?
I imagine it actually went tennis ball, dumbbell, get off my effing playground.
Oh, I'm imagining effing playground,
tennis ball, dumbbell.
And then, like, something escalates, and then it's the dumbbell.
Got it. Okay. Hey, don't throw dumbbells at people. Like, probably...
You can throw things at dumbbells.
And probably don't throw tennis balls at people. But, I mean, like, it's a tennis ball.
That's a tennis ball.
Throwing a tennis ball at someone... If Richie Incognito was going to throw a tennis ball at you...
I got hit by ping pong balls by Jamie Bluma.
Pretty comparable.
Yeah.
But if Bluma was going to throw a tennis ball at you, you would be in a bigger hurry to get out of the way. I'm just to say, you know, throwing a tennis ball at someone isn't the coolest thing. Throwing a dumbbell at someone is attempted murder with a deadly weapon. You could kill someone. If you hit someone in the head with a dumbbell, you could kill them. Yesterday we talked about David and Goliath for half the show. He had a smooth stone.
And a sling.
Richie Incognito is Goliath. Yes.
Throwing 80 pounds at somebody.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. I was thinking like 10 pounds because like the ballistics on that would be wild.
Richie Incognito is not using a 10-pound dumbbell.
No, you're so right.
He's using like a 60-pound dumbbell so he can do his arm crunches or something.
So if he's throwing a 60-pounder, even if it doesn't have quite the ballistic velocity, you are still in horrible danger.
Still an ouch.
No matter what, how it hits you. And if it's like a 35, he's throwing that thing
with force.
With some freaking hulkish velocity.
How big is Richie Incognito?
I'm going to guess that he's 6'5", 300.
Oh, come on, phone, work faster. No. Keep talking, I'll find it.
What did I say?
653 hundo.
63320.
Yep. Just got it pulled up. So, yeah. Big dude.
And, like, again, ending up in a psych eval is not the fun part of this story. But the specifics of it are pretty wild. Don't sign him.
Do you want a Bleacher Report update real quick?
Hell yeah.
This just popped up. NFL, league sources say the NFL is, quote, bleeping terrified of Trump, unquote, because of potential boycott games of TV. Boycotts of games and TV.
Of course. What's that? What's the source on that?
Just NFL. It's Bleacher Report. I'll pull the article up.
I'd like to know where the quote bleeping terrified comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pulling it up. So when I find that, I will let you know.
Yeah, of course they are. That's actually something I wanted to get to, and I think I skipped over at one point. Either they wanted to depoliticize it, or they wanted to make it Trump-proof. So now the league is Trump-proof. Teams are not, and players are not, but the league now cannot be attacked by the president.
It's just a Bleacher Report article. It's by Mike Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
It just says, our league, one team official says, is bleeping terrified of Trump. We're scared of him.
Yeah. Which really just sounds like some mad cowardice. And I guess, you know, being afraid of the president, what the president can turn against you is one thing. Also, like, the fact that your president is out here attacking professional sports leagues is also pretty, pretty childish. I don't feel like that's terribly out there either. Also, Chris Long had a thing on Twitter that he just posted about, I'm just going to read it real quick. It's like three paragraphs. This is from Chris Long, NFL player. This is fear of a diminished bottom line. It's also fear of a president turning his base against a corporation. This is not patriotism. Don't get it confused. These owners don't love America more than the players demonstrating and taking real action to improve it. It also lets you, the fan, know where our league stands. I will continue to be committed to effecting change with my platform. I'm someone who's always looked at the anthem as a declaration of ideals, including the right to peaceful protest. Our league continues to fall short on this issue. It's a pretty damn good statement. Those are two tight paragraphs getting to the actual root of it, and that phrase that they're bleeping terrified of Trump is true. This show's touched less on the political things than I thought it might at its inception, strangely enough. Because
I'm here to drive it away.
Well, no, it's because so much of it has become so toxic, and just so, because it's been so toxic, the fun is gone. There was a little while where politics were kind of a fun thing to talk about, and then some of the things I do want to talk about, like, get just really, really heavy, and so we've done less of it. But this is a case where I will have no issue being unapologetic talking about Donald Trump on a sports show, because the NFL just made a move as a reaction to the president, using his platform to turn against the country's most lucrative sport. It's pretty wild. And so that's what this does, and one thing that we should have said earlier probably. This is Trump-proofing the shield. So Trump might now tweet about Jed York. Trump might tweet about the Jets. Trump might tweet about an individual player. But he can't say that the league didn't try. And that's something that the NFL has to be patting himself on the back for. So you know what? We didn't solve this for teams and individuals. We solved this for the shield. And so I think that seems about right. That seems like the thing that they maybe wanted. Maybe that was really their goal. It wasn't about depoliticizing it. It was about pretending that you wanted to, and really about keeping you away from Trump. So, yeah. Demetrius Harris got a one-game suspension, by the way. based on, off of a marijuana arrest in March. I didn't think that Demetrius Harris was going to be on this team 2 months ago. I figured they would draft or sign someone and then make him expendable. His contract isn't great and his play isn't great. And now he's missing the first game. But the rest of this depth chart is terrible. It's Travis Kelce and Demetrius Harris and then just some dudes. Also, speaking about of tight end issues, Hunter Henry for the Chargers tore his ACL in practice. Just about as quickly as you could possibly be dealt a devastating blow in the preseason and the very beginning of a new season, the Los Angeles Chargers were given one. It would have been behind Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen, but Hunter Henry was going to be an enormous part of this offense. He's an extremely talented young tight end who's just gone now. Also, Seth Kizer tweeted yesterday, he said, watching the first KC Chargers game, man, Rivers' arm is just gone and no one is really talking about it. Like, close to Peyton Manning in his last year gone. At some time in the next week, I have to fill out my NFL preseason predictions for a thing at the station here. And I have been increasingly talking myself into a non-Charger AFC West champion.
It's the Broncos, right?
And you know,
it's the Broncos. It's
you
the
know
Broncos.
How I feel about the Broncos and the Raiders. It really feels like this division is a two-team race, where the Raiders and Broncos are both going to be decent. The Broncos have a decent quarterback and a good defense. The Raiders have
lots of old experience.
Yeah. Yeah, the Raiders have time served.
They're going to beat Father Time.
They're not. They're going to lose to Father Time.
What?
But Father Time's undefeated, they've said. You've heard them say. Father Time is undefeated. Never lost.
Except when it comes to the Raiders, right?
Maybe. Maybe, John Gruden. And the Chargers just lost one of their biggest weapons. They've got a really scary couple guys on defense, and that matters. But I'm not sure that Phil Rivers has it. They got a really good running back and a really good defense. If it was 1998, they'd probably have this. Also, people keep hyping up Patrick Mahomes more. Dan Orlovsky was talking about Patrick Mahomes on NFL Network. And I watched the whole video. I don't care what Dan Orlovsky says, but I did when he was talking about Patrick Mahomes. Showing his eye level and, like, looking off the safety and then looking to see, oh, Von Miller jumped off sides. Look at the ref. Did the ref throw the flag? Yeah, he did. Free play. Back to the hash. Did the safety go over there? Yes, he did. All right, Demetrius Harris, here we go. I'm going to put this in the one spot on the planet where only you can catch it. Oh, I did it. 40-yard gain on your first NFL third down ever. Is incredible, and I think the Chargers might not be that good. And also the Raiders and Broncos really aren't. I think the Chiefs could win this division again, you guys. Don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet. I'm not ready to be held accountable for it yet, but soon I might. I'm going to have to give like a record and everything for it soon, too. It's really early to do a full NFL season prediction, but we're going to have to. And maybe I should lean into the brand. Maybe I should have the Chiefs go 16-0, have Pat Mahomes be the NFL MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. Maybe I should really lean into it. Like, it would probably be better for my hashtag brand to just lean into all of that instead of trying to take it extremely seriously. Do you think they'd be mad?
What's the record for most touchdowns in a season by QB?
I don't know, but it's one more than not going to be the same record next year.
Yeah. Most yards by a quarterback?
I think the predictions are like every division winner and then, you know, the playoffs, wild card, and then like the MVP and
stuff
like that.
Oh, for the agent stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm thinking it would be pretty good for me to just go 16-0, Mahomes MVP, Player of the Year, Chiefs Super Bowl, all that.
Uh-huh.
It would be pretty good for my brand.
Until you're wrong.
No, I don't mind being wrong.
Until you have no credibility.
I don't even mind that. I just wonder if they'd be mad. Like in the baseball season predictions, I think Stephen had Stephen St. John 810 had his Royals Player of the Year being Dick Lovelady.
He also did not have them at 69 wins though.
Right. So is it what's okay, how much of it is okay to lean into the bit?
Like I would have given the Royals 0 wins this year.
That right. That's funny. That's good for the bit. I am beholden to the bit and to the jokes, and I don't know if that's necessarily a safe way of going about it.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.